This is Morning Edition on 89.1 WEMU. Good morning. I'm David Fair. The Ypsilanti Heritage Festival gets underway tomorrow. Throughout the weekend, the community will gather and celebrate its long and storied history. You may not know it, but Ypsilanti is Michigan's second oldest city, officially founded in 1823. Even in the course of the more popular events and landmarks that have dotted the city's journey to today, there are stories behind the stories. WEMU's Wendy Wright went on a journey of her own to gather some snapshots of Ypsilanti's 190 years.
When you want to know more about Ypsilanti, a quick internet search will give you the basics. The location on the Huron River was once an intersection of Native American trails where an essential trading post was established. The Michigan State Normal School became the thriving Eastern Michigan University. The Underground Railroad was active here. The Willow Run plant made airplanes during World War II. But what are the stories behind the facts? What better place for stories than a museum? James Mann is an archivist at the Ypsilanti History Museum. Why not start with, where did the name Ypsilanti come from?
It is called Ypsilanti because of Judge Augustus Woodward. He was a brilliant lawyer and an eccentric. This is a man who literally took a bath by sitting in a chair in the rain, and he was never seen without his faithful companion, a bottle of brandy. He chose the name to honor Demetrius Ypsilantis, hero of the Greek War for Independence. Judge Woodward, who was fascinated by everything Greek, rejected the more pronounceable names in favor of Ypsilanti.
As the town grew in size and stature, we all know it eventually became a hub of manufacturing, a major stitch in the fabric of the city's personality. Never a rip, never a tear, Ypsilanti underwear. Now, before you get the wrong idea, that's an actual part of the city's history. Mann says that phrase describes a controversial advertising painting that once adorned a building along the local railroad tracks.
Ypsilanti had a national reputation for the Ypsilanti underwear lady, a 90-foot-tall rendition of a woman in her underwear, full-body underwear, and clearly visible from the Michigan Central Railroad tracks. Numerous patrons complained and chose their seats so that as not to be offended.
As funny as that idea may be, it actually had a huge impact on the local economy, especially for women. Laura Bean is a freelance journalist and local historian.
The famous underwear factory. That factory employed more women than any other business in town and gave what was then a pretty significant degree of independence.
It's well known that Ypsilanti had a real connection to the Underground Railroad, which helped Southern slaves to escape to freedom in the North. History and the truth aren't always a perfect match. Most people believe that the white community in Ypsilanti was predominantly responsible for the local path to freedom. Well, that's certainly part of the story, but Matthew Siegfried says there's much more. Matthew is a graduate student at Eastern Michigan University, specializing in the African-American history of Ypsilanti. I meet him as he's about to take a group around the historic Adams Street neighborhood. He tells me that the Underground Railroad in Ypsilanti isn't exactly as some might remember.
The Underground Railroad in Ypsilanti is by and large a black project, which will never see the light of day. It's people making connections one way or another and knowing where to come and who to talk to and all of that by word of mouth and feeling comfortable because they're also in a black community in a way they wouldn't feel comfortable in a white community. The idea that it's this sort of underground railroad of our imagination, I think, is false. Yeah, that's not what was going on here.
We know for certain Ypsilanti became essential in the effort to provide resources necessary for the U.S. to win World War II. In fact, the area became part of the arsenal of democracy. The bomber plant at Willow Run takes an almost mythical quality.
At Ford's Willow Run, near Detroit, manpower shortage had early become a problem. From its overworked trackless trains to its assembly line, the need for workers had risen sharply. And Willow Run, the world's largest plant producing a single item, the B-24,
to separate the truth from the myth, I meet with Randy Houghton. He's the former executive director of the Yankee Air Museum. He describes how the plant came to be built in Washtenaw County.
Well, Ford Motor Company had a boys' school here. Henry Ford actually had the school here. And he owned about half the property that is now Willow Run Airport. So the land was there, and it was near Detroit. It was easy to get to, and it was flat that they could build an airport here. So the plant was going to be built in Washtenaw County and the airport in Wayne County. Then there's the famous tale, Ford didn't want his stuff delivered in Wayne County because the taxes were much higher. So he said, I'm going to make the assembly line make a 90-degree turn so it stays inside of Washtenaw County. So Ford Motor Company started to build the bombers, and they had all kinds of problems. There was too many people in charge of the factory, and then the Army had the ability to call up any time they wanted and say, we want to change this. So the assembly line was always shut down, and the bombers weren't coming off the assembly lines. And the public had great expectations that Willow Run would be producing, which somebody wrote, a bomber a minute. And they hadn't produced anything yet, so it was renamed Willet Run. The Army said, okay, we'll freeze design for 400 to 600 models at a time. As soon as they did that, production at Willow Run almost doubled. And they actually had the Army tell them, slow down. We have no place to park them, and it's embarrassing to have these airplanes we're not using parked around the country.
Today, with that elusive goal achieved, Ford pays tribute to the women whose help made it possible. To American women everywhere, whose valor on the industrial front has sped the day of victory.
And women played a tremendous role in Ypsilanti's contribution to the war effort, which brings us to one of the more iconic figures of the war era. Is it possible that she had her beginnings in Washtenaw County?
All the day long, whether rain or shine, she's a part of the assembly line. She's making history, working for victory. Rosie, the riveter, keeps a sharp look.
The answer is, well, maybe. Randy Houghton explains.
Well, there was a Rose Monroe who came up here from Kentucky, and she was the one that was the Willow Run Rosie. The Rosie really came out of the West Coast. Hollywood and a war bond drive kind of dressed it up. Then when Norman Rockwell did the one, and that was the Rosie that was on the cover.
Whatever the truth, it's clear that the women who worked at the Willow Run bomber plant took great pride in their work. Randy Houghton has interviewed many of the women, and one story, he says, resonates through the generations.
I remember the one lady came in and interviewed with us and said, what I did to help those boys was one of the finest things I did in my life.
During the war, there were great population gains in Ypsilanti to the point of overcrowding. Ted Ligabel is director of EMU's Historic Preservation Program. He knows the background of a phrase that you've probably heard.
It is said that the term hotbed originated in Ypsilanti because there was, particularly during the war, when the bomber plant was working 24/7, you know, people would rent a room or really rent a bed, go sleep when they were off their shift, and then they get up and went to work, and another person came in and slept in the same bed. And it does sort of speak to the times that there's people everywhere.
After the war, Ypsilanti left behind military contracts and became fully immersed in the automotive industry. We all know of Ford and General Motors' contributions to the area, but many forget the entrepreneurial trailblazer Preston Tucker. Bill Nichols is secretary of the Ypsilanti Automotive Heritage Museum and knows exactly why Hollywood decided to make a movie about the Ypsilanti automaker.
He has a very fascinating, interesting story. He was very innovative. You know, innovative in his car, even innovative in financing. Unfortunately, in that case, the federal government Securities and Exchange Commission looked at that and said, this is really unusual. He eventually was tried for fraud, almost six or seven months before a jury rendered a verdict that there was absolutely was no fraud.
But the company was done. Today, Ypsilanti may be most well known for the landmark that stands as legend and myth. That, of course, is the large water tower near the Eastern Michigan University campus. For all the funny descriptions people use and all the legendary myths that spread through the student community, EMU's Ted Ligabel says it truly is a marvel.
In terms of design, it's definitely unique. I've seen a lot of water towers in my day, and there aren't any others that look like that. It's a very unusual design. Its architecture, though, is what really sets it aside, is that very unusual shingle-covered top and then a massive stone foundation. You know, it's a national civil engineering landmark, and the neat thing is we're still using it.
Ypsilanti has certainly had its share of difficulties and challenges in recent years. It's no longer a hub for manufacturing. The recession took a major toll on the local economy and its residents. But 190 years from now, will Ypsilanti be celebrating its heritage from this generation? Teresa Gelati is the Director of Community and Economic Development for the city, and she's certainly excited about the future.
We're expecting sort of some key sort of economic sectors to blossom. We're seeing that happening around arts and culture, around sustainability, around small-scale manufacturing and some craft manufacturing. Those are kind of new directions that the city is going into, keeping some of that automotive heritage and some of that automotive manufacturing, but not on that larger scale. So we're seeing smaller sort of versions of it. Where that leads us, you know, a lot of times that's kind of on the creativity of a lot of the residents, some of the government, but also a lot of sort of this entrepreneurial spirit that we have in the community.
Ypsilanti has through the ages left an indelible mark on a rich Michigan history. Chances are it will continue to serve its heritage well and create new history to be celebrated long after you and I are gone. Wendy Wright, WEMU News.